All right. Good morning, everyone. We are on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top, right at the last thin line. And appropriately, this Daf assigned to Yaakov Glasser, who grew up with the experience of the Ala Zoos. And on Zoos, we make the bracha of Osem Asa Bereshis. So it says the Gemara, my Zoos. What are Zoos? Amar Rav Katina, says Rav Katina, Guha. Zoos are earthquakes. Rav Katina Havi Ka'azo Be'orch. I will tell you that when an earthquake's actually happening, it's hard to focus on making the bracha, generally running somewhere. Okay. Rav Katina Havi Ka'azil Be'orcha. Rav Katina was walking on the way. Kimata apischa devei uvatamya. And he came to the entrance of some sort of like a wizard, some sort of someone who does sorcery. So Ganach, and what happened? Ganach Gua, standing at that entrance, he experienced an earthquake. So Amar mi yada uvatamya hai Gua mahu. He said to the sorcerer, or said to this magician, whatever, this guy, do you know what the source of these earthquakes are? Like, why do these things happen? So we know it has to do with plate tectonics and fault lines and all sorts of different geological phenomenon. But of course, you know, you can never predict when exactly these kinds of things are going to happen. So, you know, what really, I guess, precipitates the pressure point that might release with the experience of an earthquake. So says the Gemara, Ramalei Kla, so he like raised his voice, Katina, Katina. And he says to him, Katina, Katina, Milo Yadana, did you not know? Bishasha Kadosh Baruch Hu Zocher Ez Banav. When Hashem remembers his children, Shashriyim Bitsar, Bein Umos Ha'olam, that they are sitting Bitsar amongst the Umos Ha'olam, Morid Shtei Demos, Liyam HaGadol. So that's probably why they happen more in California, right? Because that's more of an Umos Ha'olam, right? So, you have earthquakes here?
Yeah.
Not like
the big ones in California.
In California, let me tell you something. You see this base medrash? This would be illegal. In California, you would have a string across the top two shelves. If it's above a certain height in all the libraries, they put a rope so that they don't fall down. And all of the, well, here it's built in, but in your home, you attach all the bookcases to the, they come with little things that attach retrofitting and all the houses and everything like that. So says the Gemara, so what happens? A Morid Shtei Demos. So the two, the freakiest earthquake we ever had was Motzi Yom Kippur. We once had a big earthquake. And that was kind of like a little, you can imagine the next day in Yeshiva, everybody. Yeah, I don't know. So Morid Shtei Demos, Liyama Gadol. So when Hashem gets very sad about this, he cries two tears into the Yamagadol. Ve'kolo nishma misofa olam v'ad sofo. And the voice of such a tear hitting the Yamagadol is heard from one end of the world to the other. V'hainu guha. And that is what creates an earthquake. Amar Rav Katina, says Rav Katina, uva tamya. So first of all, it's just interesting to note, this follows the general approach here that, which is really what the beginning of this parak is all about, that natural phenomenon in the world, especially, so the nature itself is cyclical, right? That's what the Rambam talks about, the beginning of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. One of the ways in which we can substantiate our belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a larger come in, you know, is to recognize that the world operates on cycles. And if the world operates on cycles, something must initiate such cycles. And we're going to actually talk about some of those cycles today. But when there is a sort of, not an aberration of such a cycle, but when an event sort of pierces the natural, normal cyclical experiences of nature, so the sun goes up and the sun comes down and it rains a little bit and clouds come out and clouds go in. But when you encounter, and you encounter certain general landscapes of nature in the world, but when you encounter something phenomenal, something that is not supernatural, but embedded within the natural world, but sort of kind of, you know, pierces that normal, cyclical, natural experience. So it's an opportunity to call attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world, because it sort of draws our attention to that which we habituate to as sort of the natural expected. Because, in other words, the fact that the world runs with such dependent precision of all the different pieces of nature is itself a manifestation of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Ashkacha in the world. But as human beings, our teva, our nature, is that when something is cyclical, when something is expected, when something is, we just start to treat it as automatic, right? That's true in our observance of mitzvos. It's true in our relationships. When there's dinner on the table every night, not just as it becomes expected. It becomes, so even though that is a manifestation of love in a relationship, it's not experienced that way. After a certain amount of time, it's just when it becomes part of the habit of life, you don't see it. So that's part of these brachos. These brachos are drawing our attention to phenomena that are natural in the world. They can be, of course, attributed. There's a reason why there are great giant mountains, and there's a reason why, you know, there's lightning and thunder, and there's a reason for it. But drawing our attention to these phenomena helps us sort of like take a step back and appreciate the larger grandeur of nature in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So you have these earthquakes. So even we could explain the phenomenon of earthquakes, the notion that when something like this happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us through this sort of break in the pattern. He's sort of saying there's something going on here. So this is what the Gemara says. V'hainu guas, amar av katina uva tami kediv hu umile kedivin. This magician, he's ridiculous. What he's saying is silly. And his words are silly. See, ihachi, because if it were true that it had to do with these two tears, Goha, goha, mi bayale. Then there would be a double earthquake every time, right? Representing the two tiers. Velohi. So the Gemara says, goha, goha, Avid. So the Gemara says, yeah, no, but you know what? Sometimes there is actually a double experience of movement of the earth, a double rumble. Vahaydala odile. So why was he so dismissive of the interpretation of this guy, of this sorcerer, of this magician? So the Gemara says, he didn't want to give him credibility so that other people would come to consult with him and follow him on other things of which it wasn't the right thing. For Rav Katina Didei, so Rav Katina himself, what? Yeah.
Why would Rav Katina approach him?
Why would he even approach him? I think maybe the whole thing was almost cynical.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're such a chacham about the world. What do you say about the earthquakes? Oh, I have a vort about earthquakes. Nah, you're a vort about earthquakes. You know what I mean? So that's what it almost sounds like. It was almost like proactively. There are different, Rashi talks about different interpretations of exactly what these people used to do, whether or not they used to like use bones to communicate with dead people or different things they used to do. So Virav Katina Didei, so what was his interpretation? Omar Subakapov, that it has to do actually with the clapping of Hashem's metaphorical hands. We're going to get a little anthropomorphic over here in this Gemara. Shenemar vegamani eka kapi al kapi. I would also hit one hand against the other, vani chosi chamasi, and that would sort of satisfy my anger. So Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, ancha misaneach. It's Hashem actually sort of sighing. Shenemar v'anichosi chamasi bam v'hin chamti. With Hashem's sigh, so to speak, that's sort of a resolution of some sort, and that results in this reverberating natural phenomenon of an earthquake. For Rabbanan Amri, boi berakia. Hashem is literally kicking the heavens. Shenemar, as it says, hayedad kidurchim ya'aneh el kol yoshvei ha'aretz, that cries out this, like the trampling of grapes, that he calls out to all of the inhabitants of the world. In other words, it's like a trample. An earthquake's like sort of like a trample. If you've been through one, that's a little bit what they feel like. It kind of feels like, because what happens in an earthquake is there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of movement at the same time. The noise is really just from all your stuff moving around. And then also, because you could just imagine every single dish in your entire house shaking at the same time. So it's a little scary. So, but also just the ground rumbles, like you hear, like a, you hear like this, like that's when you're driving, sometimes you miss them because you're, you know, there's noise anyway in the car, you know, or at least it used to be in the cars. Did he like slams his foot below the kisei akavo? Koma Hashem, Hashemayim kisei. The heavens are my throne. The haaretz hadom ragli. But the world that is the support of my regel. The al haraomim. So the next thing that we next we make a bracha on is raomim. So what are raomim? My Ra'amim, Amar Shmuel, Anane. So Ra'amim is thunder. So what? How does thunder happen? So Amar Shmuel says Shmuel, Anane b'Gilgala. It has to do with clouds that collide. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol Ra'amecha b'Gilgal, Ha'iru b'Rakim, Tevel Rogzav Atira Sha'aretz. It's from when the voice of these clouds coming together that creates all this lightning and noise throughout the world. For Rabbanan Amri, Anane de Shibchi Mayil Adadi. It's the sound of clouds pouring water into one another. Shenemar Lekol Tiso Amon Mayim B'Shamayim. With voice, the water would be passed from one to the other in the heavens. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, Barka Tekifa, Dibarik ba'anana. It's like lightning that flashes in the cloud. Umisaber gizize debarza. And breaks apart the hail that's in the cloud. And that makes a noise. Ravashi Omar anone chilchule. The clouds that are hollow. Mechalchule. They're hollow inside. The osi zika. And a wind comes. Uminashe bapumayu. And passes over, breathes over its opening. Vidami kizika apum dani. It's sort of like the sound of when you blow over a barrel. It makes a noise. Umistabra kiravacha bar Yaakov. So the Gemara says, Mistabra, we follow Ravacha bar Yaakov. Debarik baraka benamni anayeva asi mitra. That the rain comes from the lightning coming into the cloud. V'ala ruchos. And we make a bracha on the ruchos. So we make a bracha on thunder. It's actually a machlokas rishonim here. The discussion about we're going to get into soon. The question of, but we'll see. But the discussion. So, what exactly is the bracha? Shekocho gvuroso male olam masa bereshis osa masa bereshis. So the question is, you know, so some people. Rashi says, what if you see both, right? What if you see both lightning and you see thunder, so, right? So if you just see... So you're right. Sorry, apologize. Except in this week's parsha, right? But David's correct. We don't see thunder. So we hear thunder. So thunder and lightning, some Rishonim are of the opinion you'd make both brachos. If you see them together. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that you would only make one of the brachos, either or. Shulchan Aruch seems to say. The assumption is that one has to be careful that you make a bracha on lightning only when it's the lightning like of the storm. If it's just like sometimes there's lightning from just general heat in the atmosphere, you would not make such a bracha. And that's where sort of the minhag became that maybe you should only make the bracha on lightning if you also hear thunder. Because then you know that it's only a storm. That's not required, but that has become a little bit, immortalized. And also just in general, the psak is, you don't have to actually see the bolt itself. As long as you see the sky light up, you can make that bracha. But va'ala ruchos, on winds. So the Gemara says, my ruchos, what winds? Do you make a bracha on any wind? Amar Abaye ze'ifa, ze'afa. Make a bracha on like strong, like hurricane-like winds. But Amar Abaye gemiri, ze'afa b'leila lohavi. We don't have hurricanes or tornadoes, we don't have those at night. So the Gemara says, well, kachazina dahavi, ahu. We actually do have very strong winds at night. I remember when we were on our cross-country trip and we were sleeping in a trailer park, there was a major storm, like a huge storm in Kansas, one of these like rocking the thing back and forth. And I remember, you know, and then all of a sudden on our phones, there was a tornado warning. So yeah, a tornado warning comes here, you don't get all worked up, you know what I mean? You assume it'll be okay. So the kid's like, is that a problem? And Ruth and I are like, no, it's not a problem. And I said to them, they said, you know, you always hear on the news that, you know, a tornado went through, everything's okay, except the trailer park. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, so a little nervous there. But, das chuli biyamama. So the Gemara says, we see these things do happen at night. So the Gemara says, no, they only happen at night because they started already in the day. Hashem wants to make sure that there's enough time for people to be able to deal with it. V'amar Abaye gemiri dezafa tarti shay elokai. Look, they never go for more than 2 hours. L'kayim ha'shenemar lo sikom pa'amayim tzara. Doesn't come a tzara for pa'amim, for multiple times. So the Gemara says, "Well, kachazinan dekai, we do see that storms can last more than 2 hours. You know that are very serious. Demaspik, demafsik, bene ubene. No, there's usually a break at some point in the middle. Vayla brach came in on the lightning. Amar shabaruch shekocho gvuroso male olam. My brachim. What does it mean, brachim? Amarava birka. The amarava. It's lightning. Vamarava birka yechida. It can even be a single bolt. Birka chiyura." Even a white bolt, birka yirukusa, some sort of green bolt. Va'anane de silkon bekeren maravis, and if there's clouds coming at that point from the direction of the west, va'asen bekeren dromis, and from the south, v'tarti anane de silkon chada ma'ape chavursa kulin kushin. If all this is type of wind is happening, that's all considered very problematic. L'may nafkamina, problematic for what? For windmills? For what? Let me buy rachme. No, you should daven at that point because those are not good signs for how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling about the world. V'hani mili b'leila. That's only true if they're coming at night. But safra less bu meshasha. But if they're coming in the morning or the daytime, you don't have to worry about it. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak hani anani did safra less lo meshasha. D'chsev v'chastachem ka'anan bachar. It's like your kindness is like a cloud of the morning. So those are good. Amar le Rav Papala Abaye ha. Amri Inshi, people would say, Ad Miftach Bebe Mitra Bar Chamra Much Shakit, that if rain comes in the morning, that the donkey drivers should pack up their stuff. So that sounds like Vigani. And they should get going. Meaning, says Rashi, Im Kishet Tiftach Dila Sechaba Boker, Yer Lechamater Lechani Omer. So he says basically if there was a lot of rain, the assumption was that there would be a lot of produce. Even though the produce didn't hit the market at that point in time, the assumption is that people's general market mindset would be positive. Since the market mindset would be positive, so, it would flood the market. And so as a result, he's telling that you're not going to even be able to sell at this point. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha dekater be'eva, dekater ba'anane. Sometimes these winds and these rains in the morning are considered good. Sometimes they're considered bad. It depends if the clouds were thick or if the clouds were not thick. Amar Rav Zandri, Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi, lo nivru ra'amim elo lifshot akumimius. That thunder was only created to create a certain sense of akumimius shabalev, like a fear in the heart. Like that's talking about thunder that really frightens you. Shenemar v'elokima sa shiyaru melufanav. V'amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yeshua Melevi. Okay, so that's the story with the thunder. V'amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yeshua Melevi. Haroes akeshes. What happens if someone sees a rainbow? Roes akeshes. So we know, banan in a cloud. So the Gemara says, tzarech sheyipol al panav. So they should fall onto their face. Shenemar, as it says, Kimare hakeshes, like the sight of a rainbow, asher yebanan, that was seen in a cloud, ve'ere ve'epol alponai. I would fall onto my face. So in other words, like bow down almost. So the Gemara says, layet ala b'marav, in Eretz Yisrael, they did not hold of this halacha, because mishum de'mechzi keman de'sagid l'kishta. It looks like you're bowing down to a rainbow. Aval bruche vadei mevarich, but they definitely made a bracha. My mevarich, what bracha did they make? Baruch zocher habris. You should, the baruch Hashem, that he remembers the bris with Klal Yisrael, with the world, that he won't destroy the world again. The first time we see a rainbow was in Parshas Noach. Hashem said, I'm not going to destroy the world again. Mas nesisa tana Rabbi Yishmael, benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, you should say, no, neman bibriso, v'kayem b'ma'amaro. So amra papa hilkach miriru l'tarvayu. We do both of them. Baruch Zocher Abris, we do the brachas Baruch Zocher Abris, v'neman b'vriso, v'kayem b'ma'amaro. So it's interesting because the whole sugya of rainbows itself is kind of fascinating because the Gemara and Chagiga already tells us that you shouldn't stare at a rainbow. You shouldn't be mistakil in a keshes. Shouldn't stare at a rainbow. Why? Because the assumption of the Gemara is that rainbows are a bad thing. Because when does a Kadosh Baruch Hu have to conjure the memory of the bris not to destroy the world? He has to conjure such a thing only when the world is deserving of destruction. Only when the world is deserving of destruction. Reish Chav Tes, we'll just look quickly in the Mishnah Berurah. When the world is, so there's a whole discussion of, do we have a regular set of Mishnah? There's a whole discussion of if you're not supposed to stare at the rainbow, then how are you making this bracha, right? How are you making this bracha? So the Rush discusses this, and there's a very famous distinction that's made between mistakel, which means to stare at it, and like roe, just to kind of see it. And that applies in a number of different contexts in halacha. So he concludes that a person should not like stare at a rainbow, for like gaze at it intently. And the Chai Adam has a comment, he quotes a sefer that he says he doesn't know the name of, and this comment made it into the Mishnah Berurah, so it became very well known. But he basically has a comment that a person should not tell somebody that they saw a rainbow. Like, let's say you're driving and you saw a rainbow, got to say the bracha. You shouldn't call someone at home and say, "Hey, go outside, there's a rainbow." And you could go say the bracha. Because even though we say the bracha on this natural phenomenon, because it is sort of conjuring something challenging, something negative, we don't dwell on it. There's an interesting nitziv that differentiates between, you know, rainbows that are... So there's a lot of discussion. Which rainbows are the bad rainbows? Which rainbows are the good rainbows? So there are some makoros that say, I think there's a Zohar that says that if you see the color scheme in the right order, that's a good rainbow. That's the bracha rainbow. If you see the color scheme in the wrong order, that's the bad rainbow. Now, one, imagine if you saw something like that. That's, you know, outside the realm of even what's natural. That itself would be a problem.
You have to stare to see the color scheme.
You have to probably look pretty hard, right, to see the color scheme. Yeah. So, Birkas HaKeshes. Aroa HaKeshes. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you make the bracha, Zocher HaBris, Neman B'Briso, V'Kayem B'Mamaro. V'Oser L'Estako Bo B'Yoser. But he says, you shouldn't look too hard at it. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says here. V'En G'day L'Hagid L'Chavero She'esh Kesesh Tam Motzi Diba. You're sharing bad news. Sharing, you know, negative things. Anyway, there's also a discussion whether or not you can make a bracha on only seeing part of the rainbow, as opposed to seeing the entire semicircle of a rainbow. Yeah.
I was going to say, could you also view it in a positive way, in that you're talking about phenomenon of just, like, it's a more resonant Yad Hashem. That, you know, the fact that, yes, we believe how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, is natural hashgacha, but when you see the keshet, it's also just, it's almost like an affirmation of Yad Hashem.
Yeah.
Even though I understand the purpose of it, you know, it's avoiding a negative, it's also speaking in a way.
So, and I think your explanation is why there is a bracha. In other words, like, if it's so bad, then don't make a bracha at all.
Right.
But I think what your point is that, you know, sometimes hashgacha, even if the hashgacha is negative, is megale that like somebody's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody's in charge. Somebody's in charge. You know, it's like sometimes someone will experience tzara, and it's a bad thing, and it's very hard to deal with. And sometimes there's just such a pattern to the tzara, you know, that it's almost like, oh, like this was on purpose. Now, that's not good, but it's also like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, so it's a funny, so I think you're right. I think that it's, the fact that there is a promise from a Kodesh Baruch Hu towards the world shows, is Megale, the Hashkachas Hashem towards the world. But you're right. Okay, says the Gemara, Ala Harim V'Ala Gvos, on mountains and on hills, we make this bracha. Atu Kolhani the Amra, we make Osa Masa Bereshis. So Atu Kolhani the Amra Ad Hashta La Masa Bereshis. So it's strange. In the formulation of the Mishnah, it almost sounds like only on these we make Masa Bereshis, but we've listed all sorts of other things that we make masa bereshis. So the Gemara says, "Valksir brachin lamatar asa am rabayi karuch v'tani." No, you group everything together, the storms and all these things together. Rava Amar Rava says, "Hasam mevarech tarti." On lightning and on thunder, you make both brachos. Osam ash bereshikach v'rosam arlei olam is his special bracha. Baruch shikach amalei olam v'osam asa bereshis hacha. But when it comes to just mountains and hills and these kinds of things, just osam asa bereshis. Ika shekocho, ika kocho male olam leka. But you don't make that other bracha. I'm Rabbi Shlomo Levi. Aroa rekia b'taharasa. So this is not shayach for New Jersey. But if someone were to see the heavens totally clear of a single cloud, a beautiful, beautiful blue sky day with nothing there, Amar Baruch Osa Masa Bereshis. You rake the bracha of Osa Bereshis. Hey, Masai Amar Abai Kiyasa Mitra Kuli Laila. No, you only do this when it was raining the whole night, and that contrast is so stark. With Safra Asan Asnasa, and in the morning you Megala Yulishmaya. It's sort of like Megala, the beauty of the heavens. So says the Gemara, Pligi the Raf from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Papa from Amar Rav Chizda, Miyom Shechara Beis Hamikdash. This argues Raf from Bar Chizda because he said from the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Lo Niris Rekia B'Taharasa. We never saw such a clear sky. Shenemar albi shamayim kederas v'sak asim kisusam, that there's a covering even in the sky itself. Okay, Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis learned haroa chama b'tkufasa levana b'gvurata v'kochavim misilasam mazalos kesidron amar baruch osebereshis. So what is this bracha? This is the bracha chevra of birchas achama. You remember birchas achama? We had a birchas achama a number of years ago. It actually fell out on Erev Pesach. It was a very, very beautiful experience.
You used chaim as part of the live experiment, remember?
That's right, that's right. That's why I made for you to just go over it quickly. We won't do the whole full explanation. You can't really understand this without understanding a little bit about how the sun works on the earth, right? So here's my earth, my styrofoam earth, ironically. Don't tell, what's her name? Retta, Geta, whatever her name is, right? So here's my earth, and here's my sun, 93 million miles away, the earth and the sun, right? So the earth circles the sun. While the earth is circling the sun, the earth is also rotating on its axis. So if the earth looked like this, here's North America, here's South America, right? So if the earth looked like this and it was rotating, so basically you'd have 12-hour days in every point of the earth, and you'd have pretty much a equal hit of the sun on all aspects of the earth each and every day. You'd have no seasons. You'd have just, but however, we know that the earth is tilted. The earth is tilted this way, right? Towards the sun. So when you tilt the earth towards the sun, what does that accomplish? So there's something called the solar equator. The solar equator is basically the rays of the sun that are emanating from the sun and hitting the earth. It's amazing that the orbit of the earth is such that since the earth tilts, so when the earth is on this side of the sun, the earth goes around the sun. The Gemara always talks about the sun going around the earth. That's because from the human perspective, that's exactly what happens, right? When you're sitting on the earth, you see the sun go over your head. But the Chazal knew very well how it was actually working astronomically. So since the earth is tilted toward the sun, so at this point, the northern hemisphere is closer to the sun than the southern hemisphere. And that creates summer in the northern hemisphere and winter in the southern hemisphere. As it rotates, it also goes around, but this part stays in place. So when it hits this side of the sun, now the opposite is true, right? Because you see the angle of the cup. Now the southern part of the cup is closer to the sun and the northern is away from the sun. That is the winter in the northern hemisphere and the summer in the southern hemisphere, right? That's why South Africa has the opposite seasons than we do, right? And South America, in the end of South America, has the opposite seasons as we do. So that's what happens. However, there are two points in the year, if you follow the Ha'ara, where you hit here. Now here, the earth is not facing towards the sun or away from the sun. By definition, it's parallel to the sun. At this point, both the southern and northern hemisphere receive the exact same amount of sunlight and sun energy, and both the northern and southern hemisphere have equal days, right? Because as we go around the sun, So it's a little difficult to explain, but the reason why this, imagine, so as the earth is rotating, if a person's standing here and a person's standing here, right, the sun is going to hit this guy before this guy because it's closer to the sun because the rotation is bent. But when you hit here and the sun rises, it hits all places the same. So that is a complete equal 12-hour a day, right? 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night. This is what we call the equinox. Based on what we're saying, so you have the height of winter, the height of summer in the northern hemisphere, the height of winter in the northern hemisphere, this equinox and this equinox. One is the autumnal equinox, the other is the vernal equinox. The vernal equinox takes place in the month of Nisan. And that is basically when the days and nights are equal. When the days and nights are equal, so then that is the what we call the tkufa. And that is the tkufa of Nisan. In the tkufa of Nisan, the days and the nights are equal. Now, here's how Birchas HaChama works. There's one more. So how do you know that you're in the tkufa of Nisan? So one more thing you got to know in our cup model here. And that is, if you look, so we have the earth, which is on its tilt. And we have the sun, which is shining its rays. But how do we know when we're in 12 months and 12 months, whether or not we're in the Nisan equinox or the Tishrei equinox? How do you know? Mm-hmm. It's the exact same weather pattern, right? It's the exact same weather pattern, the exact same hours of days. So there's something else going on. All around this whole system is a series of billions of stars. And if you imagine the stars are surrounding this whole system, and if you were to divide the circle of stars surrounding the earth and the sun into 12 lanes, those are what we call the zodiacs. Those are the mazalos. So when the earth is here and the sun is here and its position going around the sun, what are the star configurations we see? We see the mazel or the zodiac of this configuration of stars. When the earth is here, we don't see this configuration of stars. We see this configuration of stars, right? When the earth is here, we see this configuration of stars. So based on the zodiac, we know whether or not we are in this part of the equinox or whether or not we're in this part of the system. So, and all these things exert influence on the world. So the Gemara says, here we go, Tanu Rabbanan. So you see it in its tkufa. So we're not going to go through all the very complicated calculations in the machlokas between Shmuel and Ravada, but just so you know, just so we all know, there's a machlokas in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. When was the world created? Was the world created in Tishrei, or was the world created in Nisan? We paskin litkufos, when it comes to the equinoxes, right, the seasons, we assume the world was created in Nisan. And that means that when the sun was set up as the governing body of light and heat and time for the world, that happened on what day? That happened on Tuesday night, Wednesday, right? So that's when this all started. And it started, so the world started Tuesday night, Wednesday in the spring, in the Tkufas Nisan. And then the world started going around the sun. Now, the world does not go around the sun in multiples of seven. So therefore, it takes 28 years of cycles for the world to get back, for the planet Earth to get back to the exact spot of the spring equinox, of the Tkufas Nisan, on Tuesday night, Wednesday, the same day of the week as the world was created. When that happens, we have Birchas HaChama. When that happens, we have Birchas HaChama. So that's what the Gemara says. Haro HaChama b'tkufa sa. You see the Chama in its tkufa, or the Levana b'gvura sa, or the Kochavim in there, in the planet, that refers to the planets. Some of the planets, the Chazal assume we were able to see, right? It's very hard to see planets now because of the light pollution, right? Mm-hmm. But Chazal talk about Mercury, Venus, the Moon, and Mars, and Neptune, and Uranus, and Saturn, mm-hmm. right? And Saturn, and Jupiter, right? Mm-hmm. Neptune and Pluto did not assume that you could see, but, so says the Gemara. So you see this is Umazolos, Kesidra, and Omar, Baruch, Oseh, Bereshis. And if you remember, there was a lot of excitement building up to Birchas HaChama. And in the 18th century, we already have various tefillos being added to the experience of Birchas HaChama. However, the actual Birchas HaChama is really just Baruch Atah Hashem, Osam Asa Bereshis. That's really the brach. And that's what we said. We said the brach of Osam Asa Bereshis. So there are other tefillos that have been added over the years, but that's what we said. So the Emas Havi, so when is it? So Amar Abai, Kochav Ches Shanin, every 28 years. The Hadar Machzor, and then it goes back to its previous cycle. So I think this will also go off like every 24,000 years, something like that. There are a lot of calculations that need to be corrected. It's very interesting. The Bir Halacha himself writes that some of our, basically, you know, so like this year we have an Ur Shana, right? We added a month because of the differential between the solar and lunar calendars. The Muslims don't do this. So that's why Ramadan could come out all the different times of the year. But we need Pesach to fall out in the spring. So we add these days. But even though we're doing that, it's not an exact science, and Pesach is moving very slowly since Yetzias Mitzrayim. It has moved 4 or 5 days off of the core spring original days, and over time that will move Pesach even with the correction of Adar Sheni. But the Bir Halacha writes, we don't care about that because there's no question Mashiach's going to come. And we'll fix this all up. We don't worry about that. But there are some gaps. Because by definition, because astronomy is not precise, and because these things function to the 0.0000 of measurement, by definition, you can't create a calculated system that's perfect and precise in all respects. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Haroe. Okay, so that's what happened. Sorry. The Emas Abe Omer Baik, every 28 years. Father Machzor. The Naflat Kufas Nisan falls out Kufas Nisan b'Shabsai when Saturn is visible in that portion of the sky. Be'Ursa Ditzlas Nigi Arba, and that's basically the time of when we do Birchas Achama. Birchas Achama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Roa Yam. Rabbi Yehuda said, "You see a sea, you make a bracha." So the Gemara says Leprakim. This doesn't. It's not every time you see the sea. Ad Kama. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak got 30 yom every 30 days. But Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Aroe Pras. If you see the Euphrates, Agishu de Bavel, and you're standing from the bridge by Bavel, Amar Baruch Osa Bereshis, because the assumption is that area of the world has not been touched since my Bereshis. But today the Shnuyah Parsoi, that those pesky Persians, right? Mavi Shavur V'Lael. From Beis Shavur and downward, they've messed with. So when you're in Beis Shavur and upward, you make this bracha. Rabbi Yosef Amar Meihi Dikira Vilael, a different place and higher. But Amar Rechama Roa Diglas Agarsha Shtishibistana, also a place by the Tigris River. Omer Osa Bereshis Mar Chidekel. So where did it get this name Chidekel? Amar Avashi Shememav Chadin, because its waters are sharp. Vikalin and clear. My pras, where do you phrase get its? Its name, Shemem of Parin Viravim, because its waters produce a lot of things, like fish. V'amar Rava, Haidi Harifi, B'nai Mechuza. These people from B'nai Mechuza are very sharp. Mishum Deshasi Mayim, because they drink from the Tigris River. Haidi Dechure, the fact that they're very a little red looking. Mishum de mishamshe bi yamama. It's because they have relations during the day. Gemara says elsewhere that we're, for tznias purposes, we're supposed to, for the most part, have relations at night. If you have relations during the day, the children that come out will have this color tone. Vahai de naidi, and the fact that they blink einayo, they blink a lot. Mishum de didayu be beis afel, because they live in darker homes, so they're constantly blinking to be able to see. Ala Geshamim. Ala Geshamim Atova Ametiv. On rain, we make Atova Ametiv. Amr Abba Vamri Lava Masnisa, Tana, May Masav Varchan Ala Geshamim. We have this Mishnah that says, from when you make a bracha Ala Geshamim, Meshiyatza Chasan Likris Kala. From the time that there's so much rain that there are puddles on the floor, so when the drops fall, they also, you know, almost splash up. Like a Chasan greeting a Kala. May Mavarchan, what do you make? What bracha do you make? So it says you make a different bracha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amod Marachnu Lach, Akol Tipa V'Tipa. We thank you, Hashem, for every drop. Shored Eslanu, that you brought down to us. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Ba'achi. We are going to finish. Ilu Finu Malishira Kayam. Eiranu Mas Bekim La'odos Lecha Hashem Alokeinu. Ach Tishtachve, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rov Ha'odos. That's the bracha we make. The Gemara interjects. Rov Ha'odos. Mostly we have hotel. Lo Kol Ha'odos. We don't have all the hotels. So Amarava, Eima Hakel Ha'odos. That's what you should say. Say Hakel Ha'odos. Amar Rapapa, but nevertheless, Hilkach Gamri Nemrinu Litarvayhu Rov Ha'odos Ve'el Ha'odos. He says, therefore, let's say both. Ve'el Akasha, but what about the question that we had before, which is that here we have this whole bracha about Rov Ha'odos and Kel Ha'odos, and before we said it, a bracha about Tov Ha'meitiv. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Hadashama Ashma Hadachaza Machsi. One's talking about where you heard about it. One's talking about you saw it yourself. You heard about it, you make Atov HaMeitiv. You saw it yourself, you make this whole big bracha about Kel Ha'odos. Deshama Mashma, just to hear about it, Hanu Besoros Tovos, that's like a general good news. V'tzal, Besoros Tovos, Amar Baruch Atov HaMeitiv. The Gemara says, no, Ela Idi V'Idi D'Chazi Mechzi. Both are talking about where you saw it. V'lo Kasha Hada'asa Pursa. This is where it's coming less. That's where you make Atov HaMeitiv. Hada'asa Tuva, a laddering. And therefore, you make more, you make a more extensive bracha. They're both talking about where you saw a lot. The low kasha, not a kasha, ha de islay ara, where you own land, therefore you're the direct beneficiary of the rain. The ha de lesla ara, and here is where you were not necessarily the direct beneficiary of the land. Okay, we'll stop here. Shkayach, everyone. Yeah.